What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
We're back. We are back.
Welcome back.
Wow.
Welcome back.
Wow.
Wow. Finally, it's been months.
I mean,
it has been months.
How do we even do this podcast? Does anyone remember?
I don't. I have fully forgotten. I have no idea.
Well, look, if we won't be showing our faces on this podcast, every movie deserves an Oscar. That's what I'm doing today. Every movie deserves an Oscar. All of them. Every movie review from this day forward. Like Oscar.
But if you give every movie an Oscar, then that makes the
Golden
Oscar
Globe
worthless.
Meaning.
And that's
absolutely
why
meaningless.
That's why they can't go to everyone.
Hey,
how is that the thing we're starting with?
Tomato, tomato. Tomato, tomato.
Okay.
Okay, tomato, tomato. Okay. We
can
back,
we,
though.
Can we?
Heck yeah, what's up?
Can we explain why? Can we explain to the people what happened, why we were away? Because
the man,
people
right?
were probably like, I
the
don't
man.
Understand. I hear other podcasts.
Well, we were gone.
Movie podcasts.
We were gone because of the. We were gone in solidarity with the SAG-AFTRA strike. With the.
Because we can't
union strong.
Mm-hmm.
We struck. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. There were other movie podcasts that were able to continue during the time, and I don't quite know why. How
Cassidy. Cassidy.
I did one podcast, and the whole time. We had to be like, yeah, we had to like dance around. We didn't say titles of anything. We just had to like very kind of we tried to explain what my comic book was. And it's like, well, it feels like this. And I couldn't say the thing that it, you know,
you're like, yeah, it's this movie about a doll and a doll's boyfriend.
Yeah.
but exactly.
Oh man, I don't. My goodness. Okay, well, I guess that's in the
past. We back though.
You know,
screw that.
Here.
We cared about what SAG was going through.
Yeah.
We wasn't selling out.
That's
like
right.
The other podcast.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Because we care.
We're back
right.
just in time.
All right. We care. Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. We want the background actors to get on. Okay. We want stunt people to get on. We put our podcast where our pockets
we
were.
We want to get on.
And the other people didn't. And yeah, we try and get on. So every movie is an Oscar. 2024.
Okay, and it's the holiday season, okay, and we are here, you know, things are merry, things are bright, you got Christmas carols on the radio, you got, you know, houses lit up like Christmas trees, you got people passing around treats, you know, I don't, what's your favorite treats, guys? What's your favorite Christmas
treat? Okay, my favorite Christmas treat. I enjoy Sweet. Like a I enjoy
Ooh,
a hot what? Cocoa, okay. I
Ooh,
enjoy
that's
a hot
good. With some
cocoa
marshmallows.
With some
oh, yeah.
you put the
oh,
little
yeah.
marshmallows in, mm-hmm, you put the mm-hmm. little whipped cream, drizzle
yeah.
a little chocolate
it,
syrup on that there.
Yeah,
ooh,
you
what
know,
you drink? What you drink?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm an eggnog.
You hold it with
brother.
Hold
you know
it with both
you
hands.
Can get good eggnog.
Ooh. Oh, eggnog. Okay.
Ooh. Okay. Spike.
Do you spike it or do you do it sans?
I mean, it depends, brother. Like, if it's a good eggnog, it don't need no spice.
Okay.
But if it's a bad eggnog, spice.
Okay,
me
don't
up.
Need
you
no spice.
You may not need no spike, man. Give me that little jingle jangle.
Okay, wait. Are you saying spice
saying?
Or are you saying spike? That's the question. Are you saying spice or
I'm
are you
saying both.
Spike.
I'm saying a little bit. I don't know what I'm saying.
Because I think it.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm
no. Well, spice has to be in the eggnog. You got to spice it. That's
yeah,
what a
you
that's
gotta
what eggnog
spice
is.
It.
Yeah. I like those, you know, those cookies that come in that tin. But that all grandmothers take the cookies out of and then just put random assortments of, you know, yarn,
Bray,
and,
yes.
needles and stuff in. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Those are great, though. Those are those are some Christmas cookies. Not a big fan of Candy Cane Lane.
Wow. I'm not. I didn't like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you guys fans?
No. Hold up.
Yo,
do you guys
that's
like,
such a double. I'm not.
What do you mean?
Woo, I'm not doing this podcast.
Do you guys like Candy Cane?
Nope. Not
stop
me.
Acting like.
Nah. Ooh.
You're not you talking, saying the title of the movie. See, now I'm starting to remember. It's coming back to me very slowly. You always do this. You do this all the time. You just, you try to like, you try to casually work in
the
title.
No, we're talking about Christmas treats, okay? And like some people like.
Candy Cane Lane. The Lane is the treat. The Lane is the treat, Bray. Is that what you're saying? You're saying the Lane is the treat?
I'm not a big fan of Candy Cane Lane.
You out there, what are you doing? Are you licking the street?
Oh my goodness.
Are you licking the street?
I mean,
what is
maybe,
it? Well, how is the...
Maybe you do. I don't know. All I'm
right.
Not a fan
well,
of it.
I got to get out of this.
Okay.
How do we...
All right. We're back, baby. We're back. We are fully back. Let us get to the show.
You know what it
Jonathan
is.
Braylock.
James the Third.
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Men can jump.
In Hollywood.
All right. I thought he was going to curse for 2 seconds. In my heart, I thought he was going to say it. I thought he was going to say, let's get to the shit.
It was right there. Yeah, it was right there.
I thought he was going to slip up. Oh, man, I was like, I'm going to pray a whole new nigga.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I'm going to turn into one of those tiny people. I'm going to turn into one of those tiny people. What did he say? Tiny men, tiny people, tiny little people.
Something like that.
Something little.
That's pretty good.
Something little bitty.
Thank you.
Wow. We're here. We're doing it. You know what? I don't care what anybody thinks about the choices that we've made to come back. The fact is we're back. It feels good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you don't know what this is, I just paused for no real reason. If you
what happened?
I was trying to figure out if I actually was trying to remember if we do our name introduction first or if I say what the podcast is first, and I couldn't remember.
Wow, we truly forgot.
Just paused.
It's been too long.
It's been months.
For as long as we've been doing the podcast, you would think that we just know
It is kind of like riding a bike. But if I don't know if you haven't ridden a bike for a long time and you get back on a bike, it doesn't come very easily. You do a little wibble wobble before you start going again. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you, it's been years.
Okay, wait,
for
I got
me.
It. I got it.
I'm scared. So I'm scared that for the true. Next time I get on a bike because it has been years.
It's so
same,
my name is Jonathan Braylock.
Oh and, my god. He's drunk. My name is Drop Milligan. Oh my god. Is it more?
And my name is James the Third.
Ooh, okay. Spicy.
There you go, James. I like that. Okay. All right.
Yeah, thank
this
you.
Is
I
a
just
movie
want
review
to know what's up.
Podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today, we are reviewing Candy Cane Lane on Amazon Prime, starring
yes,
Eddie
let's
Murphy,
go, Candy
Tracy
Cane
Ellis
Lane,
Ross, Chris Redd, Robin Thiede.
I'm here for it.
Nick Offerman.
Wow.
Jillian Bell.
All them kids.
Oh, yeah.
Thaddeus J. J. Mixon. And who? There's another kid,
all
but not listed
kids.
As a, one of the... All the kids. Hold on. All the kids' names.
Directed by Reggie Hudlin.
That was the one I saw.
Thaddeus. Thaddeus.
I don't know why you started. You're like, and all the kids, and you named one kid, and then you couldn't.
Gianna Walton.
I said all the kids because in the way that Wiki is set up, they only have one kid in the top. They name all the like. It is a little rude.
Yeah. What about Madison Thomas?
A little rude.
She was a little
yes.
girl. Holly.
Got Trevante Rose
also
for a cameo.
Jania?
David Allen Greer makes
yeah,
a Jania nice cameo.
That was
Timothy.
A good one. That was a good one. I was excited about
this.
Him. Danielle Pinnock. Did y'all already say that?
Did you say?
She's in this.
I didn't say I her, but so. Danielle Pinnock from Ghost. I've been watching Ghost. What a fun
Ken
show.
Ken Marino.
What?
Great show. Shout out
show.
To
Love Ghost.
Richie Moriarty.
Everybody. Everybody.
Richie, BSJ, Danielle. Oof.
Now, Candy Cane Lane.
Oscar.
This is a straight to, what do you call this? Streaming? SVOD is now streaming.
It's a streaming, yeah. This movie actually did a great job of outlining how you refer to things. They said cable. They said cable, streaming, internet. Yeah. Like there's a difference between streaming and internet. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. There is a difference, I guess, because production level, like it's sort of the thing where it's like there's the studios and then there's the indies, but then you have like A24 that's like huge and you're like, but what's that? Like, is that indie? You know, it's like that. So
technically,
so streaming is like Amazon, Netflix, the kind of like the big, the big heavy hitters,
the big streamers
in streaming, but then the big streamers, but then internet is something
it's
else.
It's like TikTok. You know,
they're not the big
internet is. Internet is just YouTube videos that aren't YouTube Red, which I don't even know if that's still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is.
I think it's YouTube Premium now. YouTube Premium.
There you go. What else do we like to say? We talk about the box office sometimes. There is no box office, of course. Sometimes we talk about what Rotten Tomatoes it is. Rotten Tomatoes, not so kind. 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, 45% audience score. So pretty close there.
Nobody like this. I guess that means some people liked it, but that feels very low.
Gerard just whispering too high. the plot.
I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna be good. People say I can play too much.
I'll be honest. I didn't look up what. I didn't watch a trailer for this before I saw it. The tagline on IMDb is a man is determined to win the neighborhood's annual Christmas decorating contest.
Right.
That's the first sentence.
So you didn't know. So you didn't know there was talking like glass ornament.
No. And now I'm looking at the second sentence.
I didn't know either.
But the second sentence is he makes a pact with an elf to help him win. And the elf casts a spell that brings the 12 days of Christmas to life, which brings unexpected chaos to the town.
You are telling me, you were like, I'll read the synopsis, but you only read the first sentence.
I only read the first sentence. And here's the other thing. If I had read that second sentence, it would help me, but it still wouldn't have fully helped me because it's that second sentence doesn't explain another huge part of the movie, which is there are the elf. If the person doesn't complete a task, turns them into Christmas ornaments that are alive, but trapped in the Christmas store that these people visited.
That are alive and immortal, like immortal ornaments. You know, you're not just turned into an ornament. The ornament doesn't have a shelf life. It doesn't deteriorate. It doesn't. I mean, there's something crazy about that. That's really crazy. Of everything, the one thing that I had the most trouble with was how long they live and what it would mean to have turned into one. Like, I keep thinking about Nick Offerman's character. I'm having trouble thinking about Nick Offerman's character.
Because the idea with Nick Offerman's character, even though they didn't, a lot of things they never fully explain, is that he's from the like the 1500s or something, like the 1800s.
That man is from the 50s. He most certainly is. It was never explicitly said and never explored. But it was most explored by the gift that he brings at the end of the movie, and the fact that he doesn't have anybody to he doesn't have a home to go to, like the other,
even though
the others went home, they
which is so brushed up.
It's a huge thing to me.
We can't get into this yet, guys. What we have to do,
you're right, I'm sorry,
is initial thoughts. That's how we do this podcast. We do initial thoughts. What
Who wants you reminding to start? Yourself? Oh, or are you telling
I'm
us?
Vaguely remembering this.
Yeah, yeah. We just say we thought. I'll tell you what I think off break. This movie deserves a Golden Globe nomination for sure.
All right,
you know what I'm saying? I think if they had a nomination for best, huh? Would you say
for best comedy?
Bray, I can't. You said for best comedy.
No,
I mean like for best.
No, Gerard
like
was about to. No, Gerard was actually about to invent. Exactly, he was about to invent a category. He was well on his way to inventing a category.
Got it. So, like, well, I mean, that is what the Golden Globes do now. So,
yeah, this is it was a movie for best streaming movie that came out the last week of November. This is this movie right here. One nominated best movie come out last week of November. This movie right here. I respect everyone in this movie. Reggie Hudlin is a goat. Eddie Murphy, Tracy Ellis Ross. I love Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman
like
is so funny.
Goats. This cast.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
is
listen,
a,
David
this
Allen
is a
Greer.
Cast of goats.
Look, y'all know how we talk about David Allen Greer, man. Love David Allen Greer. Did I enjoy this movie? Absolutely not. Do I want to tell you guys why I didn't enjoy this movie? I am definitely terrified to do that. So I will stick with, I watched it. I saw this movie with my eyes and my ears, heard it.
Great.
And also, I feel like this movie was written by a Caucasian because it was like a movie that was clearly...
You
they
just
were trying
have
to
a
add
feeling.
Some black. Let me look before I'm talking out of my.
We can figure
yeah,
that
let
out.
Yeah, let me look before I say
yeah.
something wrong.
And also, what is
writer
if that
Kelly
woman
Younger.
Isn't
Younger?
Yep.
Oh,
it's a white man.
Oh,
yep.
This Kelly like Younger that. Is a man.
Oh, man. This is a man.
White man.
Yep.
White man.
As I said, yep. that this woman, I was like, but it could have been a gentleman.
And
there
it is.
And there he is.
And in fact, is a white man.
Yep. Yep.
He
but you know what? Good for him.
Broadway playwright.
Yeah, good for him. He loves Christmas.
But hold on. He wrote that Muppets Haunted Mansion movie, and that
don't
was
say
great.
Hold on. No.
Don't say hold on. Let me just like, say.
Don't say hold on like he wrote like like he wrote Elf.
James. No, hold James. Up. Now, hold up.
James. That Muppets Haunted Mansion James. Was fun for what it was, which was a random Disney Plus TV special that you just put on and go, oh, it's the Muppets. It's
oh, this dude was on the story team. Oh, wait, hold on. He was also on the story team of Muppets Now. Do you guys remember that?
No, nobody does.
I do not.
It had six
episodes. No, James. No, James.
It was barely on television.
Now, hold up. Kelly Younger. I become a Kelly Younger.
Yeah, Kelly Younger.
Just,
listen,
a
you're
stand,
a
I mean, no, nothing, okay. nothing against Kelly Younger, but, okay, good. Somebody else. Do I go, or are you done?
I guess you should go. I think you should go if Dry is done.
I am done.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. Because we've been away for too long, and... you know, this is the holiday season. Everything is cheery and I'm feeling positive. I'm feeling very positive. And so I'm going to start off with the positives. Here are the positives. Eddie Murphy still got it. Okay.
You okay, know, there it is. He sure do.
Here's the thing. He still got it. I don't care. Like the man is still very, very funny. And you know who else has got it? Tracy Ellis Ross. She still got it. And them together were, you know, I want to see them together.
They had it together in this movie? Wait.
No,
wait, Brad, I got a question.
You
said
he just means physically. He means physically in the same location.
Let me be very clear. Let me be very clear. I want to see them together in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That is not this one.
This okay. was a movie.
Oh, I understand that. But what I want to see is I want to see them together in a movie that's not this one because I think
respectfully,
that would be very fun.
Respectfully, respectfully.
Like what else do I have to say? Here's what I got. Here's what else I got to say. Madison Thomas, who played the youngest daughter, so cute. I want to see her in more stuff. She was great. David Allen Greer as Santa Claus. That I love the casting of that. I like that casting choice. I like the idea of that.
It was perfect.
I hated his car.
It was perfect.
And his outfit. It felt so rude. It felt so offensively black. Sorry.
Listen, what I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm trying to talk about the positives.
Genuinely
felt like the Timothy Simons and Danielle Pinnock pairing was a fun pairing. That was a fun pairing. There were some fun moments there. I had a couple laughs.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Ken Marino as the neighbor had a couple laughs with that. What else do I have to say?
You just naming couple laughs. It's the times I had. The times I had a couple laughs. Okay.
Here's the other thing I'll say.
DC Young Fly
had some moments. He had some moments. That was fun. And the last thing I'll say is I like the idea of a new movies trying. I like taking swings. And I think this movie took several swings. And here's what I'll say. Can I just end with the story, James and Gerard? I went to a friend's birthday party. Okay. And it was at this like place that had a miniature golf. They had an arcade and they had batting cages. It was very fun. It was like kind of throwback, like, hey, let's do like an old school, like, you know, middle school, early high school kind of birthday party where we're at like a place that your parents can drop you off and you have a bunch of fun doing all these different activities. And I had to try the batting cages. I had not used batting cages in a long time, probably since high school. And I was like, this is going to be fun. And my friend went first and he was hitting hitting balls left, right, and center. And I was like, man, you are so good at this. And I was like, it's so, and I, in my head and out loud, I said, this is funny. I haven't done this in so long. I'm probably going to suck, especially because you did so well. It makes me feel like I can do well and I don't think I'll do as well. And he said, you're going to be fine. And I went and I put my tokens in. I got my bat, put my hat on, put my like helmet on, went out there, you know, and the first swing, I swung hard, tipped the ball. It kind of went down, didn't really go anywhere, just like a foul tip, you know, that kind of went down to the plate. And I was like, all right, decent start. There was about, I would say maybe 19, 8, whatever pitches after that, maybe 23 pitches after that, something like that. Every single swing was a miss. I'm talking every single one. I swung really hard. I tried a lot of different ways. I was like, let me swing slower. Let me swing harder. Let me get closer to the plate. Let me back up. Let me wait. Let me keep my eye on the ball. Let me just swing wildly and maybe I'll hit it. I tried so many times. You did everything you could. So many, everything I could to hit that ball. And I could not hit it for the life of me. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't hit it. But you know what? I tried. And that's Candy Cane Lane, James.
Wow.
Wow. Good job. Good job.
That was, honestly, I think that assessment, everybody's assessments have been fair. I really wanted to like this movie. I wanted to like, there were even points where I was like, this is okay. Like where yeah, it's like, okay, if
sure,
I'm,
yeah,
if I'm, there were like points where it was like, if I'm bringing my, you know, if I want like a, I always think about things as going to the theater, even though most things won't be in the theater moving forward for the rest of our lives. But I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, like if I want something for to watch on the holidays, this is a fun, like alternative and it has a bunch of black people in it. And there's like magic and whimsy. Like I'd like, it's checking those boxes for sure. But by the end of it, I just had so many, I had questions that I don't think they wanted me to have. And I, and it just feels like, I don't know. It just, it felt like, it felt like they were doing a lot. There were just a lot of elements to this. And it could have been, if they would have picked any one of the things to like really focus on harder, or like really flesh out, that would have made it just a little bit stronger. And there's a lot of like, there's a lot of predictable kind of setups. You like sort of see a handful of the things like a mile away before we get to them. And then we get to them. Like I left and went to the bathroom and came back and Kat was like, well, what's happening is, and I was like, I know. Like it was like, I know, I knew what was going on.
Nothing has changed.
I knew what was going on because it was like, you know, the pieces were just kind of very clear. So, but yes, but like I truly like laughing out loud anytime Eddie got obsessed with how small they were and him turning into that. That made me laugh every time. It made me laugh every time. I thought the family was really fun. Baby Creed, that's little Baby Creed in there. I was looking at his.
That's who that was.
That's where I know him from. That's little Creed from Creed 3. And yeah, I mean, you know, and great to see, like, truly great to see Danielle Pinnock having the time of her life in that role. Like, wow, truly, she was like chewing up the scene. Like, it was like it didn't help that the person in the scene with her is not having fun. Like, he's deliberately not having fun. So, like, it just really seemed like she was having so much fun. The actor was having so much fun and like really did a great job. So that's what I'll say.
Yeah.
And then I'm excited to talk about it more specific. Yeah. It's a film. It's a film. Exactly. It's a kid's film. That's another list. We will probably watch. Here's another thing. Because we talked about Elemental on this pod before we shut down. I went home a month ago and my entire family loved Elemental.
Wow.
The kids just loved it on a level that I was
I've
like,
heard that.
Well, am I too? Have I seen too many movies? Like, did I not like this because of blah, 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 expectation, blah,
How
blah,
old
whatever?
Were the kids?
Young. I mean, under, you know, like 5, 6.
Oh,
young.
Okay. So this is like one of the first films they've ever seen.
Well, they've been seeing movies for the last few years, but yes.
Yeah, but
in someone's lifetime. Yeah. Someone's lifetime. It's one of the first.
Like, have they ever watched the movie? Have they ever watched an animated film and been like, I don't like this?
This wasn't good?
Right, yeah. That is a question. Good. I don't know. But I just remember being like, it was just surprising how much they enjoyed it. And this feels like something that if they watch it, they're probably like, yeah, like every time the little creatures, every time the little ornaments talk, they're having a blast. And
sure.
And the ornaments, I thought they were all great. I wish we knew more about them and knew more what was going on there. But I thought they were funny. Anyway.
Okay. Okay, okay, now respect that.
Disagreeing. Some disagreements.
No, listen. Again, I've said my piece about the movie. It deserves a Golden Globe. Yeah, man. I stick by that. You know what I mean? There's no shame with me, baby.
You said it deserves an invented Golden Globe.
Listen, I didn't say what time. First off, don't belittle the Golden Globe, James. Okay, they're back on TV now.
I'm not. Right?
They're back on TV. They got
certainly
their shit
not
together,
belittling
okay?
the Golden Globes. Have they hired a host yet? Because I heard that people are still turning that one down. I have heard that. Is their shit together?
I would.
I mean, turn it down. Listen, they got time.
No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I wouldn't, but you know what I mean.
All right, we would be there.
Obviously, not me.
We would be there. We would be there.
No, obviously, I wouldn't.
Beat.
I'm just saying, if I was a person who they would ask, I would turn it down. And I'm not. That's why I would do it.
They know I need this. They know I need this. What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoy Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aid. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp! All right, shall we get into it? Shall we, you know?
Oh, wait, let's get into it. We say more?
Oh,
wait, we're saying more?
Yeah, we are. And the thing I will say that we sometimes forget to say, but it's a brand new day. We do spoil films. We are going to talk about all of this movie. So if you want to see Candy Cane Lane and not have it spoiled, this is the part where you would turn off the podcast. If you don't care, you can continue. If you want a recommendation of whether or not you should see this before listening, I think based off of our initial thoughts, you kind of have an idea that you don't need to see this. So now,
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
I think you should take your kids.
Trying to get us canceled.
And again, I'm saying it as if it's in theaters, but you should take your kids over to the couch and watch this.
Before you listen to the podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Also, James is giving y'all this info while he's drinking. I see James with a cup in his hand. I'm not sure that's
tea. I got a drink. I just finished it, actually. 12-ounce Mother's Milk. Sorry, not Mother's Milk. It's Mother Earth. Mother Earth Brew Company. The milk truck. There's latte stouts. Very good. Delicious. Smooth.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to say this. The beginning of this film was solid, I thought. It was setting things up. Right? It's Candy Cane Lane. We're coming down the street. We're seeing a bunch of houses being lit up with the Christmas lights. And we see, Eddie Murphy out there, and he's got a bunch of, he's painting candy canes with, you know, red paint. It's very delicate, you know.
He's very delicately painting these.
Yeah.
And then I was surprised, though, that the woodwork wasn't as paint. Like, why did he spend so much time painting the candy canes?
Yeah, not everything else.
James?
The woodwork was kind of like, still, it just sort of wood. Still was like wood, right? Stenciled. Yep. It was like he stenciled
yep.
in.
Yep.
Yes.
And I was just confused by this.
I'm wondering, here will be my in-movie explanation for it. So he didn't take time to paint them, and that's why he hasn't been winning, right? Because if they painted it.
Sure.
Then maybe
right.
He would,
so every year he's been thinking that like that this
is
work,
enough.
This woodwork that I do should be enough.
Right.
And then this year he's like, I've decided to paint the candy canes.
Sure.
And he's painting the candy canes. And then, okay. All right.
Maybe. There's some other things in this because this movie has a lot of themes that they don't really, that aren't actually there throughout the whole movie. Sorry, go ahead, Gerard.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No. I just want to say that I love that he loves Christmas and that they established that. Well, sorry.
He does.
We hear how much he loves Christmas, but then mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, snap, this man's job has to do with Christmas, or he just talks about Christmas nonstop. But he technically doesn't do that. Like,
no.
We hear he loves Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We hear it. But I don't think we see it. But you know what, though?
Yeah.
That's probably just like a skip over the movie. That's fine.
I will say him hand carving a lawn full of decorations is pretty big into loving Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of what does loving Christmas mean? Like, somebody who goes all out in that sense. He's on this street and everybody gets into it and he does want to win. So he's competitive in that sense. He's not like, it's not like his whole personality is Christmas, which is great, honestly. It's just that he loves getting into that spirit of it. What were you going
to
say, James?
But to that point, there was something confusing about his love of Christmas for me. That was, mm-hmm. it was like, he did name his kids all Christmas stuff.
That's true.
He named his, they named the
which
kids all Christmas
stuff.
Which
you find out at the very end.
And every year, which you find out at the very end. I mean, we've been hearing their names the whole
yeah, you gotta pick
movie,
it up.
But we find out the very end that it, but there's that, and then there's, and then he's obviously doing the lawn, the work, you know, setting up the house. But there was, it felt like a disconnect. Like, it almost felt like I did need to hear him talking about Christmas more, or even like something like where he's like making everyone in the family be a part of building the structures and
wear Christmas sweaters,
pulling everyone
like,
from pulling everyone from their various things that they have, because everyone had a thing that they had to do, you know, that they wanted to do that was different. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it is necessary, but it just, there was something missing for me with his love of Christmas.
And I totally get that. I think it's because there's all this other stuff that they're piling on top of it, right?
Probably.
It wasn't pure,
yeah, probably.
Right? It was like, it was like, okay, so we have, this is what I'm saying. The beginning of this movie is that. That makes sense. His dynamic with Ken Marino, makes sense. Ken Marino is the guy who just buys a bunch of stuff, bunch of blow up stuff. And like, he wins, even though it's like, all you did was just buy a bunch of decorations, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I hand carve them. Like, I put more effort and care into this. That should be rewarded. It's not being rewarded. This year, he thinks it's going to be different. We don't really know why. But then we go to his... Do we establish the, like... We do. We establish the what the three kids thing, right? What the oldest son
yeah.
likes.
Yeah.
He's not good at math, but
he likes music.
And the father... The reason that the father isn't encouraging him to do music is because he plays the tuba, which, by the way, as a joke, I thought it was just an improvised joke because it was so funny. Him being like, nobody gets famous off playing the tuba, you know? And they're like, yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's hilarious. But then all of a sudden I was like, oh, wait, no, that's like a main point story. This yeah. whole movie is that he legitimately likes playing the tuba. But the thing that made no sense was that he likes playing the tuba and is a music producer.
He yes. clearly wants to be a music producer.
And
clearly he's a music producer.
Right. And
yo.
And in today's day and age, and maybe this is just me, but it almost feels like it's like there's certainly a future in that if you were good. Like if you're like
as a music producer, of course.
literally any, you can live anywhere and be a good music
they
producer.
They live in LA. Become, they live in a city.
Yeah, exactly. And they live, exactly. And they live where, they live where no you sense. Would need,
easily.
Where you could live.
No
and,
sense.
And,
yeah.
And, but he, but there's also that element of like, he never really hears his music or never really is interested in it, which I also felt like wasn't as fleshed out as it could
no,
have been.
That
like
also doesn't
at the
track.
End, yeah, it doesn't track. You would think that he would at least care. He would care. He would have heard it. He would have.
Because he's not a bad father.
He's not
he's
an
clearly
absent.
A,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. How would he have never he's heard clearly, the music? That doesn't make any sense.
Also, the fact that like he would be the whole USC. Look, man, the okay, good yeah, things. Let me that. Say something good about this movie. Let me say something good about this movie is that this movie had the sense enough to cast Tracy Ellis Ross. Okay. Tracy Ellis Ross needs to be in more stuff.
It sure did.
Like, for real, for real. She is so good. She is so funny. And the thing about watching this movie is, like, this movie made me want to, like, wish I was, like, the comedy Quentin Tarantino. Like, Eddie, like Braylock said, Eddie's got it. I just feel like either no one's pushing the right type of material in front of him. And I know he doesn't want to, like, do the raunchy stuff anymore because that's not who he is. But I'm like, man, but there's... You can get to a line. And I'm like, and
he's had,
I don't
good
know, man. It felt like this
films.
Had a lot of ideas. Yeah.
Right? Like, Daddy
yeah,
don't care.
He's had good ones.
You know, Haunted Mansion is pretty
Dr.
good.
Dr. Doolittle. Like,
Dr. Doolittle. Yeah. Yeah. He's
you
had
know,
good family films.
Freaking. And this is my thing is like, he can still be funny in those films, but in those films, I feel like the problem, and you guys may feel this as comedians. Sometimes when you're a comedian, people rely on you to like punch up everything.
Goodness.
Instead of writing you something funny and just letting you like, you know, add a line or button at the end. Whereas I feel like this movie in particular didn't write anything funny for one of the funniest comedians to ever grace like cinema. And then one of the funniest comedians yeah. who's ever been on TV. They gave them generally nothing to do. And also... This blonde woman has been a villain in every movie. They didn't even make her this is my thing. Make her a villain then. Like, make her scary. Make her, like, a funny, scary villain. Like, give her something. They gave her, again, nothing to do. So frustrating with so much talent.
And I think that's... Oh, go ahead. Ray.
Oh, I was just going to say that that scene... That first scene in the kitchen with Eddie and Tracy, it felt like there was so much cutting around, like, dialogue. And I was like, okay, clearly they were just improvising a ton and they were just trying to capture the funniest moments. But I don't know if you guys felt that, but, like, that scene in particular, I was like, goodness, the conversation is not flowing. Like, it is so choppy. And it just felt like they were like, cut, 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 cut. You know, I don't know. Go ahead.
I don't want to bash talk this movie, but it was just like, I just think there are missed opportunities in the story where like, yeah, we set up a lot of stuff about Eddie and his family that we didn't really deliver on. I don't think we delivered on the villain. I think they tried to add like some black attributes to the film where need be, but that almost felt like shoehorned in, which is how I knew it was written by a non-black. I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm supposed to, like, again, I don't want to bash this movie.
Yeah,
so I, don't
I
know
thought
what to
DC's
say.
Like, I don't know. Was very funny, but his character was confusing. Like, I thought DC was very funny, but his character was confusing. He has a point where he's
my
like,
cousin?
I didn't have to leave the hood for this. And I was like, I don't know leave if I buy.
Didn't have to leave the hood for geese? What do you mean? What does that mean? What does that even mean?
Yeah, what? but I was just going to say, to what you were saying earlier, though, Gerard, like, I felt like there were times where Jillian's character did feel like she was going to be like really evil. Like yeah. there were moments where it felt like she's going to be really evil. But then once they got into the wrap up and they tried to bring in like Santa and they wanted kind of like they wanted them to have kind of like a banter about them between the two of them. Like almost like, is that Santa's side chick a little bit? That like I feel
Which
that
is
was
such
what
a weird dynamic,
me, you know, because like it was strange. It didn't make sense because up until that point, It was like this woman's evil and cannot wait to collect this man as an ornament. Like she
we are
it
skipping
was,
around.
It was really going there. Yeah, no, I know. I'm sorry, but I just but to talk about her evilness, I just had to bring that up.
The oldest daughter wants to be a track star, but she wants to go to Notre Dame. They want her to go to USC because, you know, they've been to USC. I don't know. That was kind of fun. They're like little whatever thing. I keep forgetting what they were saying. What was it? Show pride? I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I don't remember. But that was, yeah. That was kind of fun.
Anyway. Yeah. But yeah. So it was like, okay. So we get the, and then the little girl is just the baby girl who's like, you know, wants to skip school and do stuff with dad. Okay, great. He goes to work, he gets fired, gets laid off, you know, whatever. That's a whatever scene. I don't know if you guys want to talk about it.
I mean, Trevante, what's his name?
Rhodes.
Like, I mean, that was crazy. I thought it was absurd that this man was in this. He has a special guest appearance type is what his credit is. And like, I didn't know what was happening. Okay, I didn't know what was happening. It was
wild. I just think that, and it's not this movie that I'm talking about, but it's cinema in general. And I've texted James and John about this on the side. I think money is starting to damage cinema. Like, I think everyone keeps coming after Marvel for like Marvelizing like cinema.
Starting.
But Marvel did something people didn't expect. But people keep coming at them, and I'm like, all right, I get it. My thing is, even these very famous actors and directors are getting these blank checks, and like, this movie needed to be smaller, bro. Like, just smaller. Fuck these cameos. Fuck these little metal people. Just simplify the shit out of this movie and just figure out the heart and the Christmas of it. And I'm like, it sucks because I'm watching this. There was a point in this movie where they're coming out the house in slow motion. And I'm like, yo, no, take some of this out, man. Take some of this budget out. But, yo, stop this shit.
But I would argue,
that slow motion shot hurt my heart.
I agree with what you're saying. I agree with the idea of what you're saying. But I think this particular movie, the boxes that it really wanted to check was like, This is not your every year black ensemble Christmas movie. This is a movie with, there's a fucking Santa Claus, there's fucking talking ornaments, there's a bunch of black people. I think that's what I was like trying to latch on to while I was watching it, because it was exciting to see. We don't all, you know, we talked about Jingle Jangle a couple of years ago. That was great. And that was like the last time we got something like this, you know. And Jingle Jangle is fantastic. It's incredible.
This felt like it wanted to be Jingle Jangle.
Jingle Jangle.
But it wanted, it, it does. Jingle it Jangle wants was, to be oh, right, another right. Christmas movie like that. No, that's all. I was done.
My thing is, Jingle Jangle earned the spectacle. Jingle Jangle was a musical. Jingle Jangle was a period piece. Jingle Jangle in the world was fantastical. They're in costumes. This was set in the real world.
It was better written.
And it just wasn't necessary. And I don't know. And again, I'm not trying to drag it. But guys, can I do one thing? Can I do just my ending? Because I think I might have to like physically run.
Okay.
Oh, you're ending?
I'm sorry. Only because we started so late.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, just because we started late.
I scheduled 1 hour for this. I had no. We're not talking more than
I thought it was at 5. I thought it was at 5 at first. And then till today.
So my bad.
I won't forget next time. We haven't done it in months. I just want to say this movie gets nothing for me because I don't think it helps black people.
That's my stuff.
No, hear me out. I don't think it helps black people because I think you had this movie with greatness behind it. And I think because this movie was very like lackluster, I think people are going to be like, oh, we gave you guys all the money. We hired all the biggest people we can get, and still we tried. And so I don't think this will like help us. I think it's going to be like, y'all still didn't do what we needed you to do, you know? So no offense. I mean that with all respect, because you all are wonderful, but I don't think it helped black people. So that's all I'm going to say. Oh okay. Man, why we got to do this movie? Why can't we do a different movie?
It's just sad. It's just it just hurts. It just
I didn't want to do this. I don't mean like I didn't want to do the movie. I don't want to talk bad about black films, man. Like
no, of course, absolutely, of right. course. Yeah. Nobody wants to, no. especially us.
Sorry, I'm sorry. You let's know. Go back. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well. Okay. We'll continue through where this was, which is
right.
We got the kids set up. We got the weird scene with Javonte Rhodes, even that cameo that was weird because he doesn't really do anything. He doesn't do anything,
and it's like this is guy, a huge star. It's like, yeah, why is this man doing
like the
this?
The scene was because they cast him, they had to make the scene up longer than it would have been in the normal film. Like in the normal Absolutely. Film, this would have been like. Three slides and we're out. Like, but it was like longer, Absolutely. But not for. But we didn't get anything from it. Like, he's just
and it,
laid yeah, off.
And it ultimately meant nothing. It was he didn't even have any like, man, fuck, I got fired by such and such fucking asshole kid from blah blah blah. Like there was right. there wasn't even any of that. Like it doesn't even motivate him in a different way. It was just.
I mean, honestly, Eddie being laid off is like close to being inconsequential to the story. We don't even really need it, you know? In fact, it actually
he ain't
got
pay for no trip
because it gives
he ain't worried about college. Go ahead, Bray. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, it muddies the story because it makes his reasoning for wanting to win the $100,000 a little more pure. And instead, yeah. Why did he need to get fired?
Because then the consequence.
Guy, yeah, go ahead.
Well, but just then the consequence means more. It's like it means more to the situation and to him and what he has to face and what he then has to learn. If like, if his greed, you know, to win, to you know, would lead to you're going to be stuck as an ornament forever. That's stronger than like, no, he actually just financially needs like this would really exactly. help. And, He's in a bad place and like that's real. It does muddy it a bit.
It muddies it. I just don't understand it. Like I don't understand what it added to the story to see that. And like Gerard was saying, like it makes it seem like well his job is not even about Christmas. He gets laid off. I don't know. It was just like okay. So he got laid off and he comes home and it, like all of this was played real. You know, like up until the moment yeah. that we finally get to Jillian Bell, like it was all like, okay. And then it's like they get a sponsor, this contest that they do every year gets a sponsor and they're going to win $100,000 and everybody's excited about it. But obviously Eddie's more excited about it. And then the other thing that really annoyed me is that there was a theme that they tried to put into this movie that was like, Eddie doesn't. He like isn't asking for help. He's trying to do things all by himself instead of doing it as a family. The mm-hmm. first thing he does when he realizes I need $100,000 is he gets his kids and he's like, I need you to help me. Like he gets his little girl and he's like, I need you to help me. So what?
Yeah, and also just like to what I was saying earlier, the reality of that was already hurting the movie in that like we needed him to be trying to get his family as involved in Christmas activities as possible in order to like support his love of Christmas. He loves Christmas so much he named all three of his children after holiday stuff. All three? Right. That's all three. That's everything this man talks about. I love Jurassic Park. It comes up every 3 days. It just comes up every 3 days. There's nothing. I'm not doing it on purpose. I am not doing it on purpose. It comes up every 3 days. This man named his children after Christmas stuff. Why wouldn't he want them to always be involved? It just doesn't make sense. That's it.
Exactly. He would, and he kind of does, but then they're trying to pretend that he doesn't, even though he literally goes and gets this tree with his daughter. His daughter is there.
Yeah.
The other people don't want to be involved. They don't want to be involved. Not he doesn't want them to be involved.
Well, they also do that when he's like, this is the last Christmas. When he says this is the last Christmas, and you can like see that moment of him like feeling right. like this is the last time for us all. But like, it's not connected to anything else. It's just a feeling that he had in that moment, seemingly, but it's not connected to any action at all. It's not connected to anything active that
yeah I just wish that it was like everything should have been motivated from this idea that like he so wants this to be a great Christmas that he stops like actually like thinking about it in terms of like their family dynamic and their personal relationships. But it's like that stuff is not married with the like, you're trying to force your daughter to go to USC because you and yeah. your wife went to USC.
You yeah. know,
you don't want yeah. your son to play mm-hmm. tuba because you don't think people can be successful playing tuba, which by the way, if it was just the tuba thing, that actually would make sense. It's like, yes, it's going to be right. pretty hard to make a living being a tuba player unless you get into one of the very few orchestras that are in the, you know, in the United States or the world or whatever, like you're not going to have an easy time making money playing the tuba.
Absolutely.
It's like one position in like, yeah. you know, like what, like 20 orchestras? You know what I mean? Like, anyway,
you know what, whatever. You know what did feel, you know what does also feel improvised though about his first tuba line I'm now remembering is he goes, you ever hear anybody say, like coming to the stage, it's a great tuba player. And then the tuba player, they say his name. That's the part that you're like, he must have thrown that in. That was Eddie riffing. Like,
that was
nobody ever said tuba player. Yeah. That was very funny.
Play the tuba. And it's true. It's like, you can't name one famous tuba player. You can't. You can name a lot of famous other instruments. Piano, trumpet.
That's true.
Violinist.
Yeah.
Speaking true. Saxophone.
Saxophone. Yeah.
Name a famous tuba player. You can't do it. Okay.
Flautist. You can, famous flautist also.
Yeah. Drummer. I mean, like,
anyway,
obviously guitar player. Anyway.
Right.
Hell, I think cello players are more famous than tuba players. So, this is the
Damn.
Thing. We, whatever. Anyway, so whatever. You have that stuff. So then we get into what the real story is. But by the way, I don't know how they did it, but truly, by the time they get to where the story is, it's only about 20 minutes in, but it truly felt like 40. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know how.
Well, because all like that of that just, how long have we been talking? How long have we been talking yeah. about the beginning of this movie? I mean, I know we jumped around
There's
a
so
little
much
bit,
stuff was
but
happening.
Like, there's so much happening in the beginning of this.
It's so much happening. It's like you have the storylines with the daughter, with the son. You got the fact that he's gotten laid off. You have Tracy Ellis trying to get promoted at her job. And yes. you got this contest that's happening. And it just feels like there's already so much here. And then they're like, and now the premise of the film. Which is him going to some random decoration store trying to find like really cool decorations. He sees this tree. I have to say this. I'm sorry. This tree is ugly to me. There is nothing appealing about it.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It looks terrible.
I didn't like it. No.
And like the whole
and then
conceit
it also
movie
like
is, yeah.
Yeah, it's how great it is, and this is going to certainly make it. But it was also like it made his yard askew. Like it wasn't even
right.
He didn't even then put it in the center of his yard. It just made it threw the yard off. So it was like, I don't think this is the right decoration. I was surprised that I didn't know that was what the decoration was. I didn't know the 12 days of Christmas tree was the decoration that he got from this place. And it threw me off for sure. I was fully thrown off. I did yeah. like though, however, how the store seemed to appear out of nowhere.
Yes, I did.
This
it.
Was
There's
the of the magic of it. I thought that was cool. I thought I yeah. was like, okay, we're on a train here. Yeah.
You know, he signs this contract. It's so clearly like some looks like a devil contract, but whatever. He signs it anyway. That was a fun. Her appearing out of nowhere, kind of spooking them. Oh, she had a good line, which was, "It's always good to have a little horror on Christmas." And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. She also says, she also, before he signs, she says, honestly, it's like signing your soul away. She like, she just tells him that that's what he's doing. I was like, okay, film. And he was like, ha ha ha, and signed. I thought that was cool. She did not lie to him.
I thought it was fun that you opened it like a freaking tuna can and it just popped out. That was like a fun little design. I think it looked horrible. Whatever. He gets it, hooks everything up. When we get to the thing, he lights it up. This is the other thing that whatever. So we get to the parade. He lights it up. It doesn't work at first. Very reminiscent of Christmas Vacation. And then it lights up and it's like a huge spotlight in the sky. Again, to me, doesn't look great, but everybody's like, ooh.
No.
All right. And they're like, now we got a front runner. And here's the thing I don't understand. It's like they had this contest as if it was like this, like, we're going to get to the contest and like, ooh, like we're doing this parade. And that's like, but it was like, it's just one of these things where I'm going, this is it. There's one. Once.
It's happening. This is the contest.
It
was weird that they were like saying, like, I guess we'll see who wins. But like,
and it's like, what do you mean?
Looking at it once and then judging it afterwards is all you do. Why would there be days?
That's it.
You know, why? Why is there more elements?
You look at it once. What do you mean? What else is happening? Whatever. So then we get that. And then he wakes up the next morning and the ornaments are gone.
He gets a call. He gets a call from the partridge, seemingly. It's because it's squawking on the phone.
Calling bird.
Yeah. Oh, from the calling bird. Thank you. That makes more sense.
Calling birds. Yeah.
So he gets a call from the calling birds. And this upset Cat because it was fine here, but then he gets another call later and he calls it a prank. He's like, oh man, prank call, blah, blah, blah. But the call is like, all your ornaments are gone. They're going to come find you. That was the first call. It says the ornaments are gone. They're going to come find you. Something like that.
Right.
Then lo and behold, the ornaments are gone.
Right.
They are gone. And then they come to find him. And then as the movie progresses, he eventually learns like that's what's happening, but he keeps getting calls from the calling bird. I'm so mad I didn't realize it was the calling bird. He gets a call from the calling bird. And he's still like he's like this prank. He's like still thinks it's a prank it being established. Like what? Like why does it? Yeah, that made me Cat mad.
I mean, anyway, so I will say this too. The level of response that every single person, I'm talking every single person in this movie has to the reality of magic is so out of whack and throws me off so much. I just can't stand it. And especially because the levels of which the magic is happening is truly all over the place. And all the responses are pretty much the same way, which is like, what's going on? Huh. That's weird. Oh my god. Huh. That's the level of response that people have to geese shooting eggs like they're freaking cannons out of their butts. To chickens just magically appearing in a freaking factory. To little ornaments talking. Like
they're not just talking.
Yes.
They're having a conversation with you. They will respond to what you say. And they're walking around and they're moving. One of them has a literal, he has fire. He's walking around with a flame. And we're just kind of like,
open flame.
Oh, no.
And then.
Yeah, that's real.
It was so much. It was like, it was so hard to take in because Eddie goes back to this place and they tell him pretty much exactly what's happening. And he's like only moderately freaked out by it. I mean, like, and I guess he does.
This is the introduction, though, of like he's seemingly having like an internal kind of existential crisis about the reality that he's going to become a tiny person. And this did make me laugh because Because what happens is he's like, I'm gonna be a tiny person. He like very quick. It's but you can tell he's spiraling inside. But it's kind of
Eddie
subdued.
Does a great job that of trying did, yeah, to that did solve make me laugh. This. It was the actor doing everything in his power to solve the ridiculousness of this script. And so, but the thing is, like, so the swans are like in their backyard and like they're attacking, you know, a little bit, but it's like they're like little pests, but they come and go and they're not fully there. And it's also not a huge part. It's like the 12 days of Christmas haunting them is not really the thing. Yeah. And therefore, it's like, that's why it's just so muddy. It's like these things will come to life and come after you, except that's not really the thing. The thing is, you have to do something, and if you don't do it, then you'll turn into an ornament. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the main thing.
But then also for him, up until a somewhat throwaway line towards the end, he's still trying to get the $100,000 because he lost his job. Like they have to have Tracee Ellis Ross be like, no, we don't care about that. You're going to turn into a time. They have to have her say, we don't care about that anymore. You're going to turn into a tiny man. And it's like, wow, like this, even if he doesn't turn into a tiny man, he will still be out of a job. Like it's, there is so much happening that it is like, it's tough to latch on.
Too much. And then we get this thing where it's like, okay, you have to find all the golden rings. And they're like, oh, five golden rings. We got to find five golden rings. And periodically they're finding them. And every time they get one, the ornaments turn back into ornaments. Okay. But we also, in the midst of this, they're like going to the track because the USC scout is going to be there. And meanwhile, everyone at the track sees these lords of dancing, like being crazy.
What?
And nobody reacts.
One of them
to it.
Turned into nine of them at once. One dude became nine at once, and no one cared. Then like, huh? Homegirl runs after one of the lords of Leapin, takes the
ring.
Takes the golden ring. He turns into cardboard, and we realize the Notre Dame scout is like,
you had 20 in front.
She's not for us. Yeah, I'm like, what?
You're not going to Notre Dame.
Something supernatural just happened. Something beyond belief just happened before everyone's eyes. The only explanation I had at this time, this is before later, was there's like, time. Okay, maybe no one sees them. Like maybe it looks like maybe thought, it looks like she's too. Running after nothing. Right. Yeah. And like but maybe it looks like it Eddie is. But there's no way that's what it was.
No, it wasn't. I mean, at the end of the movie, it's clearly not what it was. And
it's clearly
here,
not what it is. Yeah.
Even here, it couldn't possibly be what it was because let's say whatever. Anyway, the maids
well, no,
are milking.
What, go, please, because it's absurd.
I was just going to say, like, first of all, Eddie's like doing this thing where he's like dancing, fighting with them. Like it's like this weird thing in the middle of the field and people are looking at it. And then mm-hmm. the other thing that when she got bumped by one of the lords, everyone reacted to it. They saw it. They weren't like,
yeah,
oh, she just fell
but
down.
I thought what they could have reacted to was her falling down. Cause you okay. also don't hear, there's no like announcer or anybody being like, there's a man on the, what are all these dudes doing around? You know, like,
but the
and no
the
one
family
is saying,
saw it, right? Like Tracee Ellis Ross clearly saw it.
The family
and I'm
definitely
like, so how
saw
does
it.
This magic work? I was with you too, though. I was trying to be like, I guess maybe nobody else sees this. Even so, even if the scout didn't see it, what he did makes no sense and is absurd. If anything, you would be like, oh, this young girl just had a mental breakdown on the track field. You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
Not like you had 20 infractions. It's like, what? Anyway.
I did laugh at when they all turned into cardboard, and Eddie was like, I was one step away from whipping all y'all ass. Like, he was whatever thing he says to
Yeah, his throwaway lines are very funny.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
The maid milking. By the way, that's the other thing that pissed me off about this movie was like, you have all these numbers, but then it was like, you just saw one maid milking.
It don't make sense.
What?
It don't make
and
sense.
And I will say, it's so funny. I was thinking about the number of rings because I was like, I didn't know that.
You were doing the math of the repetition?
I wasn't doing that, but I was thinking like, it seems like all the only way to make these ornaments turn back into cardboard is to take a ring from them. But there are 12 of these things. So how can there only be 5 rings? Yeah. Because all of them are alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in my mind, I was like, there has to be more than just 5 rings. I wasn't thinking about the math stuff, though. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I mean, just because I want to skip there because we're talking about math. When this dude was like, 12 times 5, 40 rings. I can do math. Dude, I died. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. He does literally third grade math. I'm not joking. He does third grade math, and everyone is like, whoa, he did math. I was like,
and then he goes, later he's like, he does one more thing, and he's like, I'm a math genius. I can't remember what the other thing was, but he does.
Because I don't think it was supposed to be funny.
He does subtraction or something, and it's think that was supposed to be funny that he thinks
maybe. But the 12 times 5, when they're all proud of him for doing math, I don't, because he makes this other point. He's like, it's like music, but it's math. And I'm like, first of all, that doesn't make sense. Yes, there is a correlation between math and music, but what you just did there doesn't make any sense. Also, 12 times 5 is just a basic multiplication table that a third grader knows. It's not the math that you're failing at. The math you're failing at, because you're probably at least a sophomore, is either geometry or like advanced algebra. You know what I mean? Like, that's the math.
Wait, no, but I'm but that's, he said, he goes, is this calculus? He like says, he says something like that. It's like, no, it's not.
But the math that he is doing,
because his answer is 40, he's doing some different, he doesn't even get, he doesn't get 5 times 12 right. He's doing like, he's doing like, okay, well, we don't get to 5 golden rings until 5. So he's like, okay, so the first few times, the first few repetitions, he's, you know what I mean? He removes 4 repetitions. You know, he's doing some, it's slightly more complicated than just multiplication, right? Because he has to figure that out too.
Oh, interesting. Right? Oh, yes, that's right. You're right. There is some subtraction. It's not just 12 times 5, because that's not 40.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, it's like he's doing like 12 times, it's 12 times 5 minus the 4 rounds.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's doing whatever that is. whatever that math is.
Right, it's 60 minus 20 because it's like 4 rounds, 5 times 4 is 20.
Yes.
12 times 5 is 60. 60 minus 20 is 40. All right.
And then whatever. There it is. See, you know what it is.
You're right.
You know
you're right. He is doing some math. And maybe if you solve for X, there's some algebra in there. It just was the funniest thing, though, because he was just like, I did math. I was like, oh my gosh. It's like music. And the only reason it's like music is just because it's a song.
Right.
He's like, because it's the music. You have to repeat the rounds. Anyway, I skipped ahead, but there's not, what is the other stuff? Because there's a scene where Jillian Bell just breaks into their house to look for the dolls, hears them singing, but can't find them still, and then just leaves anyway. And I was like,
the pentatonics were funny. That it like was annoying at first. It was annoying at first. And then there were just a couple non sequiturs that they had that like that actually got me. Like when they were like when Tracy Ellis Ross is trying to explain the plan and they keep singing, all of the things. That made me laugh. And
I didn't hate that bit.
Yeah, yeah. How she caught them, I thought was funny too. Like the way she catches them by singing the song until they can't help themselves.
And they're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, that was funny.
But they didn't actually get Did they get caught? Because I felt like she got.
Oh, right. Do they end up taking?
Because later
them,
on, Nick Offerman's like, she was here last night.
Right. Oh, yeah. I don't remember if she actually gets away with them or not. They're there at the end, but I don't remember what the result of that. What happens All right. after this?
What else we got?
I mean, we get essentially like after that and the Maids of Milking, it's 0 hour. It's like you're about to turn into a thing, and like everyone's it's the mayhem of the end of
the mayhem. It's a slow motion shot because there's a thing where they let them know, and then Tracy Ellis Ross is like, "Why didn't you tell us?" And he was like, I was trying to do it by myself," which is not true.
Yeah.
That's not what he was doing, because he wasn't doing it by himself. He already told them he had to get these rings so that he could win, and they were already helping him get the rings. It was like he didn't want to scare them. And
yeah.
Like, because I think later, like earlier, he's like, well, we're going to do it. So, like, there's no reason to say it. It's just they just try to shoehorn in this idea that, like, he wouldn't ask for help. But that had nothing to, that wasn't a real thing. And I was like, why are you keep doing this ask for help stuff? It's like not a part of this movie. It's just not.
It's also it's so much not a part of this movie because also in how quickly he tells Tracy Ellis Ross that he lost his job. Yeah. Because if he was really trying to do everything himself, he would have been putting all of his focus into winning this contest. And there would have been a point where someone would have said, it's just a contest. And then he would have said, no, it's not just a contest. Blah, 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 blah. I've been holding this in, blah, blah, blah. Right? Like,
100%. Like
it's unusual for him to have been so open about to me anyway. If he's gonna hold that's a secret, then he would have also felt some kind of I need to hold back on these other things too. I think
correct.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Poorly. Just not a good script. Sorry, it just wasn't weird. Strange. Not and because to me it's like these kind of edits are like not even that difficult of things to do. Just that it's actually more taking stuff out. It was like, you have too much stuff in here. Just take this out, take that out. What are we
yeah,
doing?
Just take
why,
this
why
out.
Do you have that?
Yeah.
Anyway, but the family gets together and there's like, oh, we're doing this together, and there's mayhem. So you get the final mayhem of the geese shooting people with eggs and everybody running around because there's all these freaking. And there's drummers drumming, even though they're not really doing anything. and they're trying to collect all these rings.
Yeah, this was fun, except I hated that we kept seeing the rings fall and like not seeing
nobody
them
get
them up. Yeah. Like there was the one time where Chris Redd's ornament like picks up like three. And I was like, yes. Certainly more than three have fallen on the ground and have not been picked up.
Correct.
Like,
Well, that's the thing. They weren't counting them. They didn't allow us as the audience to have any idea about how many rings they've gotten. So by the end, when they're like, we have 38, I was like, I have no idea. When they were like, how many have you gotten? I was like, I have no idea what they're going to say. Because we don't know.
Yeah.
I also don't understand. They were like, oh, she's cheating. But then like later on, she's like, I won fair and square. And it was like, but you didn't. You cheated. And everyone knows you cheated because they all have watches and they all looked at the time and saw that it wasn't 8 o'clock. So we know for a fact you cheated. Everyone knows that. It was also weird because Nick Offerman was like, they're like, she's cheating. And he's like, she was like, he won't know that. But then literally a second later, we see him check his watch. And I was like, well, guess he knows it. But he turns
Does
into an ornament
not
anyway.
Know about watches? Does she not?
I loved it because they literally had every character look at their watch. Yeah.
Yeah. When she changed the dial on the clock, I thought, oh shit, she fast forwarded time. Like time is now, like I thought that was what she did.
Right. Like a
but
magic.
But instead,
thing.
Yeah, something with magic. But instead, it was just literally changing the gears on the clock.
Which also made me go.
Clock would chime sooner.
Why didn't the ornaments just push it back?
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, oh no. What? And I was like, just push it back. You're right there. You're literally right there.
Right
push
there.
It back.
Climb to the top. We can even do like a King Kong thing with you having to climb. That would be
you
fun for a second,
each
even though it's not.
Climb on top of each other. Maybe somebody breaks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
Ooh, somebody breaks. Ooh.
Also, it was fun getting Santa there, but it was also bizarre because I, like we've already established, their relationship, it was like Santa.
Strange.
First of all, there are no reindeer. There's no other elves here. And I was just like, what are you let this elf punch you in the stomach? Like, what is this? How does this elf have control? Any control? What is going on? But then he was still doing a little bit of magic to get some of the rings, to only get some of the rings. I was just like, what's going on?
Yeah, he weirdly, it was like, why does Santa honor this contract? What does this contract mean? Like, what's the magic? What is the magic that we all have to adhere to? And why can Santa, who you would imagine has more magic, is the top dog when it comes to magic? Like, that implies that there's some other magic realm rules that these elves all have to, you know, elves, meaning including Santa in that, have to abide by.
Yeah. I don't understand it. So he turns into an ornament. They all get together. They're all like kind of, you know, they're like sad. They're like in shock. And then, you know, she's like, blah, blah, blah. I did it. He's like, well, no, actually, how many rings did you guys collect? Santa, can you do anything? How many did you guys collect? 38. And he's like, is that all you got? And they're like, wait a minute, 39, because 40, because they're both wearing gold rings. So he turns back into a human. I like the idea that the last two rings were on their finger. That was fun, smart. And then
it was cute. It was cute, but could have been stronger, I think, you know. Well, and like potentially in some of this stuff we've already been saying, like had he kept it the job thing a secret, you know, then it's like he's keeping something from his partner, but then the fact that they are partners and mean so much to each other.
Correct.
And the symbol of that is what, you know what I mean? Like
100%. The themes of this movie were all over the place and they were bad. They were bad, bad, bad. And if they had a theme that actually connected to this ending, to a very smart idea of the last two rings being their wedding rings, it would have had so much more of an impact, but it didn't. It was just a fun idea that wasn't connected to the rest of the story. Because you had like seven themes. It was like,
yeah.
It was like, what is the meaning? What's the real meaning of Christmas? Are you into Christmas too much? Like Christmas over family, you know, caring about like your kids and whatever, like asking for help. Like, it was just like, what are we doing? There's so much here. It's just a mess.
Eddie even keeps saying things like, and what I've learned now is, and then he'll like say
that was so funny.
the thing that he learned.
But it was like, I don't think the movie was that aware of how funny that was.
Right.
I get it. The true meaning of Christmas is and it's also like a weird thing because it was like him trying to say what the true meaning of Christmas was. It was like, the elf didn't really seem to care about what people thought the true meaning of Christmas was. She was just doing she was just doing bad things because she liked it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like her motivation
was absolutely
absurd. I don't even know what the freaking motivation was supposed to be.
Evil elf woman.
Evil elf.
She was an even elf woman.
Like she had three motivations. Like it was like Santa kicked me out. I don't like humans because they have turned Christmas into this capitalistic money grabbing thing. You know, I don't know. I feel like she had another.
I mean,
thing,
it felt. I mean, yeah. It felt. I mean, it did feel a little like. It did feel a little like they were trying to make her Satan, a little bit.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
She felt like
and it
Satan.
Was like,
yeah.
Why? And but it was like, if you're gonna do that, then you gotta do it a little bit.
Yeah,
you can't just make her kind of.
Yeah, they kept making her goofy
a little bit.
Because it was like, it's like she's like on the street. When she's like first on the street, she's just like jumping around. It's just like the things she would do. It was just like, what is going on? Who is this character?
Yeah.
Bizarre. The end anyway. Was a wrap up. They like, okay, they're back. And
ridiculous.
The other ornaments turn back into humans because of the kid's wish. And then they fly away on Santa's sled. Also, by the way, everyone knows Santa's real. But then the TV thing kind of did this thing where they were like, where she thought it wasn't real, even though everyone saw it, including the news, including her cousin, the news reporter. So that was bizarre. And then,
but it was all, of course, a part of the, it was the spectacle of the evening. Like, it's the spectacle of the evening. It's, I get it. We also didn't talk about how the $100,000 was broken up into other things.
That is,
like,
I mean, again, again, a funny thing, like a funny joke, but also just truly just made no sense. and made the whole movie like, okay, so they don't even get $100,000.
Like, I was upset. Like, I was,
yeah, because it was so ridiculous. It was like all of this stuff was so ridiculous. Also, they find that out not before they announced the winner. Like, they found that out.
Yeah.
And they were like, everyone's right, like, oh, right, that's the prize. And they didn't even know the winner was. And it, so it like took away, it was like a joke that should have been saved for when the winner thing like this whole movie was so, it felt like, it truly feels like they it was like a third draft in which like the writer was trying to implement notes, and they were like, and they just like handed something in because the deadline was there, even though they knew it wasn't ready and not finished. And then the studio was like, great, let's shoot it. And they were like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, let's shoot this. And they're like, this is not ready to shoot. And they were like, well, this is what we're shooting and we're not paying you for anything else. And the writer was like, cool.
Yeah.
Peace. Bye. All right. Good luck.
Thank you for the money.
shot it. And then the director was like, we got to improvise. Also, did you notice there was some horrible ADR in this film? I don't know if you noticed.
I noticed some of the ADR. None of it ever stood out as like completely horrendous, but I'm sure some of it. I'm sure it was, and it just didn't stick out to me.
But it stood
like,
out
to
you.
Like, there were a couple moments where it was like, oh yeah, this is definitely thrown in here for
it
whatever.
Shouldn't be. Like, it should never be obvious. But like, there were times where I was like, this is clearly ADR. Like, what are you doing? And what happened? It makes me wonder what happened on the shoot. Anyway, we know too much about movies now.
We do.
Is there anything left to say?
I agree with that.
Wait, can I also say they rolled the they have this thing where all the people come over and Nick Offerman comes over, even though they didn't explicitly say that he's a man out of time. Maybe because they thought it would be too weird.
I couldn't believe it.
But it was so
obvious. Then why do it? why do this with Nick Offerman? It was when Santa flies away. And we see like his silhouette walking down the street. I was like, they are not doing this to us right now. Like where a man from Charles Dickens era is walking.
And Eddie Murphy completely oblivious, like, well, just, you know, I'm sure you have family to get back to. And he's like, yeah, family. And then later on when he comes back, Eddie Murphy's not like, I'm glad you're here because I also realize your family is dead because you're a man out of time. They're just like, yeah, you can have Christmas dinner.
Or even like, what they also could have done, I feel like I've seen this, but like where he does have a living relative, you know, somewhere.
Sure.
And like,
yeah, that would have been fun.
This weird out of time man has to go to like... That would have been crazy, but also at least, I don't know, at least dealt with what was going on a little bit more head on. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe, because they didn't have to. They didn't have to. Everybody else went home.
No.
And then, but nope, here's Nick Offerman from, you know, he's straight out of
Scrooge. The 19th century. All right. And then, we have... And everything else is right. We don't see him get a job again, but I assume like they're not that worried about it.
see that he now owns, she got the promotion, but he also now owns the magic shop.
Wait, okay. Yeah, we get that store. we get that in the extra tag.
In the tag. That's right. That's right.
And the tag, but which by okay. So the tag starts with 1 week later. And I immediately said, why? Why 1 week later?
So she can be starting the job.
It didn't make any sense why it was 1 week later. If anything, it made less sense. But anyway, they do 1 week later. And then she's in the North Pole as an ornament.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't do this to me. I thought you said I could be back your elf. And he's like, yeah, you can work your way up to like the reindeer thing. And then there's this weird bit where she tries to say something. And he goes, and I was like, what? Why is this the final joke of the film? It's not, it's a thing that we've seen before in other
movies.
We've
seen it 1,000 times.
I'm like, it's a joke we've seen in other movies, and it doesn't even apply here because you haven't set up this dynamic. I don't understand what's going on. He's just, Santa's just being rude.
No, but that's the other issue, I think. Potential issue, because who knows if they're actually doing this. But the second Santa shows up and we start to see their dynamic together, it does start to feel like they're like, and let's get ready for Candy Cane Lane 2. Like they're already kind of being like, and we're going to get to see way more of their buddy antics. We're going to see way more
Nobody
of this.
Nobody wants that.
but they shift so hard once Santa shows up that like it, and then for that to be the tag, for the tag to be, look at Santa and this, and look who now owns the shop. It was like, oh yeah, we're getting, they want us to see Candy Cane Lane too. They can't wait for whatever this is going to
really
be.
Really bizarre. All right.
So there it is.
There it is.
That's the movie. That's Candy Cane
that
Lane.
That is. That's Candy Cane Lane. There's nothing else to say. Shall we do...
It's time for that. I mean, we ain't got nothing else to say. Gerard he didn't want to talk to Hollywood. He didn't want to do any of his.
There's no bits
I think the last bit that we were doing was Gerard was doing my bit and then I was doing his bit. I think that's the last. I think that's where we ended. We're cool. We can just go in.
we'll figure out these bits another day. Guys, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. The film helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If it's someone helps that cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. Draw decided to give it nothing, but on the count of three, James and I will lift up our ratings for Candy Cane Lane. Here we go.
Okay, wait. It's more leading black actors in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Leading black actors in Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, cool. I think I know
three, what I'm doing. 3, 2, 1. Okay. I gave it a fist. James gave it a palm. Which, honestly,
I almost gave it a fist. But I'll go first so that we can end on a higher note, I guess. Even though there's no real value judgment to the, but anyway, I gave it a palm because I just was thinking about, like, I love that this is a movie that is definitely starring Black people. We get to see a Black family that, you know, they're well off. You know, they're dealing with some stuff, but they're well off, and they care about each other. And directed by Reggie Hudland, and so like that's great. I love that. But because the stars of the movie are already stars. You know, we got a lot of up and comers in the supporting roles, but because the stars of the movie are already stars, I don't know that this movie necessarily promotes more leading Black actors rather than it's like, let's go to the pool. Okay. And so that's why I gave it a palm, but I did almost give it a fist just because I do think that the stars are, you know, the people that are in this and the people that are coming up in this are great and are definitely going to be the future of Black comedy, et cetera, et cetera. And also, and also I'll just say this movie trying to fill the void of, there's a lot of white magical Christmas movies that are out there. And the attempt of being another one of those kind of staple, you know, Christmas movies with magic, I thought is certainly admirable and needs to be, you know, and could be credited. But that's why I gave it just a palm, though.
Right. And I gave it a fist because, I don't know, there's something to me about the fact that this movie, it didn't seem like this was supposed to be like, here's a black holiday film. Like, it very much just felt like, mm-hmm. here's a big budget Christmas movie that happens to feature a black family. There are some other black cast members. You got Chris Redd in it. You got Robin Thede. You got, you know, obviously Tracy Ellis Ross and Eddie Murphy. You got Daniel Pinnock, like DC Young Fly. So there's just like, there's a lot of black people in this. David Uncle, obviously. And like, and yes, some of them are already stars. Some of them are up and coming. You got the children, of course. But it was like, just this like film, holiday film, kind of in the spirit of like a Jingle Jangle. And it may not have been a big hit, but who knows? We don't know what numbers these are doing. That's the only, that's the problem with streaming. Yeah. We don't know.
I think this was big. I think there might have been some posts about this being.
Yeah, because I mean, to me, this is the type of movie that you just put on. Your family can watch, and whether you like it or not, it's getting those views, you know? Like,
It set a record.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know what the specific record was, but it says, this is from Deadline. In its first 3 days after release, it was number one. And what is the record, though? I can't see what the record was, but... they say that it's a record for Amazon. Oh.
There you go. Well, so there you go. I mean, like, it just feels like the type of film that's going to do well because it's just a big cast. And I think it helps. I think nobody really cares that it's not that great because these are the type of streaming films that are like a specific genre with like big stars and enough laughs in them that you don't mind that it is like, you know, it doesn't need to be a great script and a great film because it's not, that's not really what it's trying to do. It's just trying to hold your attention for 2 hours, you know? And I think
it does.
That. Yeah.
It certainly does.
It's a crazy mess, but it does. So Black Fist from me, White Palm from James, Nothing from Jarrah. There you go. We ran the gamut. We're back.
All three.
You know, we don't have a handle on anything right now. We're so sorry. We understand. This is coming out to you on the free feed. We have a Patreon, okay? But we haven't done anything on that Patreon for so long. I feel bad for all our Patreon users, but I also am so grateful for them. We are doing this podcast on our own right now. We don't have a network supporting us. So we do need that to help us pay for the podcast so we don't have to pay for it ourselves because... the reality is we can't be paying for this ourselves. So
sure can.
If you can and you have, you know, you can go to our Patreon. We have all of our old episodes are on Red Circle. Maybe we're going to fix this because I do know Red Circle is just not super popular. And I think a lot of people still don't quite understand how to access it because people keep asking where our old episodes are. That's where they are for now. So if you go to Red Circle,
that's
you'll
where they
get
are for
all
now.
The bonus.
Yeah,
you'll get all the bonus content of that we put on Patreon as well as all of our old episodes, and we have over 300 episodes. We have a lot of episodes. So please sign up for that if you can. Check us out. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We'll have links to those things as well as shows that we have. I'm not sure when this is coming out. I think this hopefully maybe will come out before Friday because we're just trying to get it out as quickly as possible. If it does and you're in LA, we have a show Friday, December 15th, 10 p.m. It's Black at the Movies. It's our improv show where we ask the audience about black movies that they've seen. We do improv based off of that. We have an incredible lineup. All three of us will be there, which is a nice special treat, as well as other people like Carl Tart, Phil Jackson, Rekha Shankar, Lacey Mosley, Corin Wells. I think that's everybody. And what else do we have to say? Oh, and we will be at San Francisco Sketch Fest. We're going to do our, we're going to do a live show. I guess we'll figure out exactly.
Yes, we're going to do a live program. It will be live. And we will be there.
But yes, please, if you are in San Francisco, we're going to be at SF Sketchfest. Come out to that. We will have, when ticket sales go up, we'll have that out there. I don't know if they've gone up yet.
I feel like they have.
It is. Saturday, January 27th, 7 p.m. There you go.
Yeah, so come through. Come through, SF. San Fran.
You can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram.
Follow me at Rule of Three Inc. I'm on, I am on X still. And I am on TikTok and Instagram. And you can also, I have comic books for sale at ruleofthreeinc.com/shop. So check it out. Bunch of fun comics on there. Check it out. You got to go read your comics if you're a comic book reader. And if you're not a comic book reader, still do that as well. Just go on to ruleofthreeinc.com/shop. Shop.
All right. I don't know what we're doing next week, but I think we will be here next week. I'm pretty sure.
We will.
Great. So we'll see you next week. Peace.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleofthreeinc.com or follow me at ruleofthreeinc on IG for more details. Donate today!